May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It was a time when we seemed to have been victorious, and yet strife and tension hung over the world. A major war was ending, and yet the ongoing struggle for power continued, like persistent and foreboding aftershocks following an earthquake. We thought everything was settled, and yet it was not. The years to come would bring not a hot war with bombs and planes and guns, but a cold one with spies and secret missions and subversive activities. And over it all hung the memory of that image, the mushroom cloud hovering over Hiroshima, a terrible weapon that caused greater destruction than humanity could have imagined. That image etched into our memory was not only a reminder of how the war had ended, but what future wars could look like. The genie now let out of the bottle could not be returned. This was the world that existed immediately after World War II. Yes, the Greatest Generation had done its job and defeated Hitler's Germany and Hirohito's Japan. It was a victory, no one can deny it. But it did not make the various and sundry corners of the world friendly to one another. Despite the Marshall Plan and other nation rebuilding activities in the conquered countries, despite the maneuvering to divide up countries into places controlled by the Western Allies and the growing Soviet Union, despite the formation of the United Nations to be an arbiter for peace, tension and fear returned. It was in that climate, in 1946 and 1947, that the British poet W.H. Auden wrote one of his longest and darkest poems, The Age of Anxiety. An extended allegory, the poem has four characters, each of whom has been affected by the war, each of whom represents a part of the human personality. Thought, feeling, sensation, intuition. And these four characters sit in a bar and talk to each other and drink and talk some more. And it is clear in their talk that they have been broken, shaken, not stirred. They have been broken by the world in which they have lived. And the overarching feeling that pervades their lives is, as Auden titles this very long poem, anxiety. Anxiety, that feeling that something bad is going to happen, that worry that we cannot deal with, fear, concern. Anxiety can make you sick to your stomach, or unable to sleep, or snappish in conversation with your spouse. Anxiety can make it impossible for you to concentrate on your work. And then you become anxious about not getting the work done. And so it goes in a downward spiral until you're utterly immobilized. Auden was accurate in describing that feeling in the aftermath of World War II. But it was not unique to that time period. It had existed long before. If any of you were following the diocesan program of reading the Bible in a year called the Bible Challenge, right now you are in the midst of the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, where it seems to be nothing more than one battle after another. And in between the battles, there is no calm and gentle peace. There's simply worry about what will come next. An age of anxiety. At the same time, in the New Testament, you're reading Acts of the Apostles and hearing about the apostles trying to build a church in the aftermath of Jesus' death and resurrection. These are not happy stories of happy people living together in peace and harmony. No, you hear about Saul's persecution of the disciples of Christ, about the Apostle James being killed, about Peter being imprisoned. Hard-won victories, troubling events, hints of possibilities, but also disagreement and struggle. An age of anxiety. Doesn't seem much different today, does it? It's election season, and each candidate is determined, it seems, to frighten us into voting for him, or at least for voting against his opponent. Bad enough that we worry about our jobs and our 401ks and if our children will find employment after they graduate. Bad enough that we read about arsenic in our rice. I don't know about you, but I didn't see that one coming. Contamination of the water table. So that we worry about the health and well-being of our families. And we hear stories about people making stupid movies that cause all kinds of tension and upset and upheaval in foreign lands. And then there's the story about the guy who lived next to a school and was unhappy with kids walking on his lawn, so he posted on Facebook that he was going to shoot all the kids. An age of anxiety. And in our fear, we want to find the quick fix, don't we? Whether it's locking up everybody who makes us nervous or opening up the bottle of bourbon. So we hear James's letter today, and we recognize what he's talking about immediately. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and you cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You covet something, you cannot obtain it. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Sounds as if it was just written yesterday. In the face of anxiety, we don't deal with the heart of what concerns us. We just pick fights around the edges. We worry about protecting ourselves with power or goods as if they would ease our anxious hearts. We have the same aha moment in today's gospel. Jesus is teaching the disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. In the face of one of the most anxiety-producing things he had ever said to them, the disciples got into an argument about who was the greatest among them. Not about what he said had meant, They were confused about it, but they were afraid to ask. No. Protecting themselves and trying to soothe their own anxiety by positioning themselves for power as if power would stop what was coming next. Creating a wall of illusion around themselves so that they could believe for a brief moment that nothing bad was going to happen and nothing was going to change. An age of anxiety and a broken and very human response to that anxiety. A line from Auden's poem says it well. We would rather be ruined than changed. We would rather die in dread than climb the cross of the moment and let our illusions die. We would rather be ruined than changed. We would rather die in dread than climb the cross of the moment and let our illusions die. What does Jesus tell the disciples in the gospel? He says, you've got it wrong. Yes, something will happen that will be difficult and painful. And when it happens, the old rules about what works will no longer apply. Things will change, and to get through it, you will have to be willing to be changed as well, or else you will be stuck in the old illusion of how you want it to be, stuck in that age of anxiety always. And what does James tell the readers of his epistle? He says, you don't feel good because you're putting all your efforts into satisfying your desires for things that you think will make you forget your anxiety, rather than asking God to heal your heart. Unless you're willing to be changed, you will be ruined, as Auden says. Unless you are willing to let your illusions of what will make you feel safe and warm and happy die, you'll be stuck in an endless cycle of doing all the wrong things to soothe yourself, and you will find no peace. It would be quite depressing, all this talk of anxiety and human foolishness in response to it, were it not for the prescription that sits quietly at the end of both of these passages, from James and from Mark. It's very short, three words. Give it up. Give it up. Give up the anxiety. Submit to God, not as a person who thinks they have all the answers, but humbly, like a child. Let go. Unless we're willing to get down on our knees and say, as they do in the 12-step programs, I'm powerless to deal with this. I need a higher power to help me. And I turn myself over to that power to help me find a new way to healing. We will find no relief in the age of anxiety. Peace comes from God. Ask for it, and it will be given.